want to talk about the storms of life that can hit us and just knock us down to the ground. So what's amazing about storms, sometimes we're just kind of born in the storm, like you're just born into it and things just are forever been happening in your life. And then sometimes we have these storms that, like I'm a good person, I'm not doing anything wrong, and bam, a storm hits your life and it just knocks you down. And then there's other times that we cause the storm, right? We cause the storm. So today I want to talk about storms, and I want to talk about God's heart. God's heart. So I have a question for you. Ready? Here's my question I want to ask all of you. Can the resurrected Jesus resurrect our lives after they've been just destroyed, devastated through the storms of life? Can he do that? And I'm sure most of you are sitting here listening, well, yeah, Pastor D, I know he can do that. So some of you that may be just kind of, I'm not sure. This is what I really hope that you will be so convinced and know that, yes, he can take the devastation of our life and just resurrect it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So why don't you open up to your Bibles? This is a New Testament scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 6:14. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You'll find it, 1 Corinthians 6:14. And it goes like this: and God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. So this scripture is referring to there's coming a day in the future, and we don't know when that day, when Jesus is going to return, and he is going to call out to everybody who's died and that has asked Jesus into their life, and he's going to resurrect us. And it's going to be so cool and amazing. And not only that, he's going to give us these resurrected bodies. And these bodies are going to be perfect. They're not going to grow old. They're not going to have any pain. And we're never going to die. And it's amazing. And all because Jesus died to give us this everlasting life so that you could be resurrected someday in the future. But that's someday in the future. But as I was reading this scripture, it's really interesting. This scripture is in the middle of a text, meaning there's stuff before it and there's stuff at the bottom. But in the middle, it's thrown in there. And this scripture has nothing to do with future. No, this scripture actually has to do with today and now in our life. And it's really dealing with devastation from sin in our life or just other things in our life now. And what's amazing about this scripture is, you can actually take it two ways. Yes, there's coming a day when we're going to be resurrected and join Jesus in heaven forever. But this scripture also, you can take it as, hey, God wants to resurrect you now. And he wants to take the mess that you're in. He wants to take the storm that you're in. He wants to take whatever else is brought into your life. And he wants to raise you up. He wants to give you significance. He wants to make your life better. That's what God wants to do. He wants to give us a resurrected life. And that's so good. So let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever heard of wrecked creation art? Wrecked creation art. If you haven't, let me tell you what it is. It's where you take these scrap pieces of wood, maybe driftwood, or scrap pieces of metal, like from a wrecked car or a wrecked train, and these people make beautiful art out of it. They make beautiful pieces of art or furniture out of it. Has anybody seen any stuff like that? Well, I have. A friend of mine actually has one of these. It's a table that was made out of, it looks like, discarded pieces of wood that he had glued together, and then he took some scrap pieces of metal from, a car wreck, and he made this beautiful table. And I thought, you know what? I wouldn't mind having that. It looks pretty cool. But the reason why I'm talking about wrecked art is because we are living in a world and we have a living Savior named Jesus, and God wants to take our wrecked lives and make something beautiful out of it. And actually, God is in the wrecked creative business, creation business. So guys, it doesn't matter if you think you've wrecked your life, all right? It doesn't matter if you think your ex ruins your life. It doesn't matter if this person just messed you up, or it doesn't matter if you've ruined it because of different events. It doesn't matter. And for all you parents out there of teenagers, it doesn't matter if your teenager has just totally did something so dumb and you're sitting here thinking, man, they have ruined their life. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, because God is in the recreation business and he can change our lives. I mean, just think about Jesus. Just think about Jesus before he went into his public ministry. So, you know, Jesus was 30 years old and he went into public ministry, and you get to read about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's just amazing stories of Jesus's public ministry. Okay. But before that, guess what Jesus was? He was a carpenter. And I am pretty sure he took wood and made beautiful furniture and tables and stuff like that. And you know what? Jesus, it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? He wants to make something beautiful out of your life, out of my life, that may just be so wrecked and ruined. That's what he's in, because God is in the recreation business. Oh, praise God, praise God. So, you know, I was thinking about some characters in the Bible and how God had taken their wrecked lives. And some of them, they did it. They were the cause of the wreck, right? And some of, they were just thrown into it. Their life happened and they ended up by having just all these terrible things happen in their life. But what's so cool is God got involved in their lives. So I want to talk about a couple of Bible characters, and you know, it's kind of hard. So I had to whittle the list down. So I'm just going to give you four of them. And there are four people in the Bible who had wrecked lives that God got involved in their lives and resurrected them. So the first one I want to talk about, who aside from Jesus, I think he is the most important and powerful guy, and his name is Moses. His name is Moses, okay? And guess what? Moses stuttered. Moses stutters. And you know what's so cool about this story is that God actually chose Moses to be the one that would deliver his people out of Egypt. And you remember in the story, they had been enslaved for over 400 years. Their life was hard. And God goes, hey, Moses, I want to use you to get my people free. And he did. He did. He did that. So, and some of you are probably sitting here thinking, man, I've been shut in. I wonder if God's going to help me through this. Well, he will. But listen to this. Listen to this part. You know, probably the toughest assignment Moses had was not that he had to go talk to Pharaoh, was not that he had to lead these millions of Hebrew children out of Egypt. I really believe Moses' toughest assignment was he spent 40 years in the wilderness with these guys while God had to get Egypt out of them. And if you read your Bible, it was tough. I mean, he had some tough things going on, okay? So when I read that, you know, I have to think sometimes, you know, God, here's Moses, and he's got this problem. He's stuttering. God, you're God. Why didn't you heal him instantly? And, you know, come on, he's God. He could do that. But I really think that God did that so that we could see some things. So this is what ends up by happening. Moses, here he is stuttering, and he's given God all his excuses, and God says, hey, listen, your brother Aaron, he's going to be your spokesperson. He's going to be your mouth, and everything that I tell you, you go tell Aaron, and he can go tell Pharaoh. So that's how it goes. But you know, I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking about some of us that have storms in our life, and it just seems like we've been knocked down, and we got these problems and things going on. And sometimes our mentality can be, hey, I'm going to wait till God fixes everything in my life, or I'm going to wait until this happens and that happens, and when this happens, then I'm going to go serve God. If this happens, then I'm going to go live for God. You know, if God does all of this and gets it all straightened up, then I'm going to give to God's kingdom, or I'm going to do this and that. And you know what's the amazing thing? And you got to hear this, guys. God wants to use you today, right where you're at, with whatever's going on in your life. He wants to do that because God takes things that are wrecked and he makes something great out of them. So that's our first guy, Moses. Moses had a problem stuttering. Here's my second guy. You ready? Gideon. How many of you know the story of Gideon? Well, first off, let me tell you, Gideon had a flaw. He was a coward. I don't know if we call him sissies or wimpy, but he was like super coward. And this is what was going on in Gideon's life. They were these nations that were invading his homeland, Israel. They were invading him, and Gideon is hiding out. He is shaking in his boots, hiding as his, these invaders are coming in. And God sends an angel to Gideon. And guess what? Gideon's like afraid of the angel. Ah, he's just freaking out. And the angel says this, "Hey, mighty warrior." And Gideon's like, "Oh, no, not me. You got the wrong buddy." And God says, "That's who you are." Isn't that cool? That's what God says. That's who you are. And, listen to what God does. God takes this coward and he makes him into this mighty warrior. I love that. I just love that. And you know what? I really believe God wants to show you and I that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your resources are. It doesn't matter what storms have hit your life. God wants to make you something great. He wants to come in your life and just take you through this and just make things so much better. So the story goes on with Gideon. He's assembled. Oh, that's right. That's who I am, a mighty warrior. So he assembles this huge army. And God says, no. I want you to whittle it down to 300. Okay, so Gideon takes his 300 guys. And you know what happens? He goes and, well, they go and they defeat all these armies that have been invading Israel at that time. And it's so cool. It's so cool because, listen, this is God who takes wrecked creation and he makes something beautiful out of it. It's just another one of these examples. So here's my third example. How many of you have heard of Samson? Samson was this guy and he had this thing for prostitutes. You know, that's kind of a flaw these days, don't you think? Okay, so he's got this thing. Now, so interesting when you read your Bible, Samson has this, he's called the strongest man that ever lived. And it's not because he's got these big muscles, which I'm pretty sure he did, but it was because God gave him supernatural strength. God gave him the supernatural strength so much it says that one time there were like 1,000 guys that jumped all over him and he defeated all of them. He won. So all through the supernatural strength. But here's the thing. Samson kept falling into these prostitutes. He definitely had a flaw. And the amazing thing about this story is God was going to use him. God was going to use him to defeat the enemies that were attacking Israel. And at the end of his life, God restored Samson. God restored him. So think about it. Here's Samson. He's got a big flaw in his life and God restores him. All right. So Samson's got a thing for prostitutes. And here's my last person I want to introduce. This is Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. Okay. And listen to what God did in her life. So Rahab is living in the city of Jericho, if you remember the story, and Joshua sends in 2 spies to spy out Jericho, and she ends up by hiding them to save their lives. And they say, "Hey, listen, we will save your life when we come in and take over the city." And guess what? They did that. So I love this. Here's a prostitute. And God redeems this woman's life. And not only that, listen to this. Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus. You know what that means? Rahab is in the family tree of Jesus, Savior. Isn't that cool? So listen, there's not one of us here today, whether you are going through a storm that you didn't cause, it just came on top of you, or you have these flaws and that's why you've got these problems and storms hitting your life. There isn't one of you that God can't take this storm, these problems, and make something good out of your life, bring you up out of that life and just restore you. So I love that because God is in the wreck creative business. Amen. So let me give you a scripture. This is an Old Testament scripture. It's found in Lamentation. That's like halfway through your Bible on the Old Testament side. Listen to this. It goes like this. The Lord's love never ends. Right there, that's good. The Lord's love never ends. His mercy never stops. They are new every morning. I love that. But I want to talk about the mercy part for a few minutes, the mercy part. And in case you aren't aware what the mercy of God is, let me tell you what it is. It's like when you and I blow it, right? We wreck our lives. We did it. That's what. Maybe it's because we were just disobedient, rebellious, or stubborn, but we have wrecked our lives. And this is the mercy of God. God comes in and he says, I know you did it, but I love you. And then it's like this resurrecting mighty power of God comes in and he lifts you up and restores you. That's the mercy of God. Even though you did it, God's love, his mercy comes and restores you. So that's so cool. But you know what? As I was reading that last part, listen to this again. They are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. God's mercies are new every morning. So I was thinking back when we first got our cell phone plan and my kids were on it. And occasionally what would happen is towards the end of our billing a month, we would get this little message that would say, hey, your data is about to run out. And I would call up my kids. I'm like, who's using up all the data? Knock it off. We got to get to the end of the month, or probably just finish up the week. So can you imagine God would run out of his mercy for you? I mean, just think about it. You know, I've just been real stinky this day, just messing up with my mouth probably. And God goes, you know, D, I'm now out of mercy. Or how about you had a month where you were just awful, okay? And can you imagine God saying, hey, you know what? Because of all that you did, I'm out of mercy. Right? Can you imagine God doing that? Or how about, just plain old, you used up all your mercy this year. You got to wait to 2021. Can you imagine? Well, thank goodness God doesn't do that because it says his mercies are new every morning. All right. I don't know about you, but that just excites me. Before I open my eyes in the morning and before I put my feet down, I'm like, God, I thank you for my mercy. They're new today. Hallelujah. So that's just really good. And all of this happens is because God is in the recreation business and you can't mess up big enough, bad enough that he can't come into your life and resurrect it and make it something so much better. Amen. So, I've been talking about recreation art. They also call it the same thing. They call it reclaimed art or reclaimed furnitures. And it's the same thing. But here's a cool scripture that just kind of says it the same way. Listen to this. It's found in 1 Timothy. This is in the New Testament. It's, again, the Apostle Paul. And this is what he says. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves complete attention. To this world, Messiah came, sinful people reclaimed. And I'm the worst, but for that reason, I receive mercy, so that in me, as the worst sinner, the Messiah Jesus might demonstrate all of his patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. I love that. You know, I really like that part where he says, I'm the worst. Now, I don't know if you know about Paul's life, but he was a super religious guy that didn't know Jesus. He was not a Christian, and he made it his main objective. He was just hunting down Christians, and he would drag them out of their house and throw them in jail, and on some occasions, he would drag them out to have them killed, and you read about it in Acts where he is standing while they are stoning Stephen to death. He's standing there, so that's just pretty bad in my book, okay? But you know what? I like what Paul says, and I'm the worst sinner, but God had mercy. So listen, guys, God reclaimed Paul's life. He became the Apostle Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, just lived this incredible life, and he wrote about it for you and I. So if God can reclaim his life, guess what? He can reclaim our life, and he does. And really, that's the whole Easter story. That's about being reclaimed and resurrected to this great life. So I just want to finish up with one story that sums up more of what it is to have God demonstrate his great resurrection and power and reclaim our life. And the story was, it was right after I got my driver's license. It was that summer, and I had to go to work on a Saturday, and my dad let me borrow his car, so I didn't have to hitch a ride with somebody else. I was so tickled. I was going to drive my dad's car. So I'm backing out, and you know this if you know me. I'm not really good at backing up, even to this day. I back up, and I backed into the house. And I like to say that I just grazed the house, because it doesn't sound so bad. So I back up and I graze the house, and I'm sitting there in the car going, oh my gosh, and I'm ready to cry. Should I run in the house and tell my dad, but he's sleeping? I'll just go to work. So I go to work and I am just fretting all day long. So I finally get off work, come home, and I walk in the house and I go, Dad, I have something I have to tell you. I backed into the house this morning, and my dad said this. I feel like I can see him now. He says, I know, I watched it. I was like, gosh. And he said, I could tell the car, you were all right and the car's all right, and I forgive you. You know, it was so cool. My dad didn't chew me out. He just said, I forgive you. And then he said something, and he said something that I was like, it wasn't until I got older that I got the impact of this. And he said, everyone is entitled to one dink and one scratch on my car. So what you might not know is I am one of six kids, and I was the first one to put a dink in his car. And every single one of us did that. We had accidents in my dad's car. And the last one, my baby sister, she totaled the car. So, but you know, I thought about that. I'm sitting there thinking, my dad, actually, could I say he knew and he forgave? And when I think about that, that's really the story of Jesus. Come on, think about it. The story of Jesus. He, before we ever landed on the planet, before we breathed our first breath, Jesus came and he forgave us all of our sins, all our wrecks, all our flaws, and he would take our devastation life and turn them into something wonderful. And he did that and forgave us before we even messed up. And guys, that just thrills me. And so I have to tell you guys, that's the Easter story. And maybe you're here today and you have just been running your life, just running, and you don't know that Jesus has already come to forgive you of your sins, forgive you of your wrecks and your flaws. So I would like to pray for everybody right now. So wherever you are, would you just close your eyes? You know, you don't have to just be still for a couple of seconds here. I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for everyone that tuned in today. I thank you for all of those that do know you. I thank you that you come alongside and you just keep resurrecting our life. And you take the wrecks and you make them into something so beautiful. And we just thank you for it. We thank you for this resurrection power in our life. And now I'd like to pray for you if you have never asked Jesus to come in and take your wrecked life and make it resurrected life. I'd like to pray for you. And what I'm asking is if you can remember a day and a time where you ever said, Jesus, come into my life. Would you be Lord in my life? Would you be my Savior? And if you're here today and you say, you know, I've never done that, Pastor D, well, today is a great day to do that. And all you have to do is, would you just say this prayer after me? And God will come in and do that miracle. He'll resurrect your wrecked life and give you eternal life and a life so much better, and he'll help you through your life. So just pray this prayer with me. Just say after me, and just say it from your heart. Okay, just say it so you can hear it. Just, you know, block everybody out if you're in a room with other people. Just say, Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to forgive me of all my sins. I thank you that he raised him again. And I thank you that he gives life to me now. And today I accept Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord. And I thank you for making something beautiful out of my life. So if you prayed that prayer today, you are now a child of God. He has deposited his life, his eternal life with you. And it is just so cool. So if you want to get in touch with us, leave a comment online. We'd love to hear from you. You guys have a happy Easter. Eat up all that Easter candy and tune in next week. Have a wonderful day.